As I ponder as even what to say tonight, the song that they sang really complemented what was preached this morning on the greatest gift ever given in the reconciliation of man to God through our Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that He offers. There's no greater experience, there's no greater source of joy that this world could ever produce. And I think that maybe I would say this on this Christmas Eve of Christmas Eve, as we've been calling it in our house, the Eve of Christmas Eve. Yesterday was the Eve of the Eve of Christmas Eve. Some people have the 12 days of Christmas. We have the eves of the eves of the eves leading to Christmas. And we laugh because you think I'm joking. But in reality, I think of all of the conflict that seems to be coming up year by year with regards to Christmas. It's a federal holiday, and this is not a political message at all or a political devotion, but just to say this, I think that if we really think about it, the greatest defense of Christmas is not a bad attitude and a rotten spirit. Oh yeah, you're not going to take Christmas away from us! Right? I think the best defense of Christmas is a good offense. And that would mean Christians filled with joy that is unstoppable. Uncontainable joy in the fact that no matter what the world around us does, our Jesus was born and He lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life. And He died for our sins and He rose again 3 days later victorious, and He ever lives to make intercession for His people. Therefore, we should go forth in victory and make, if you want to look at this, and this is not just a defense of a holiday, it's really a defense of Christ in the sense of He doesn't need us to get bad attitudes on His behalf. He wants us to be joy-filled Christians that are a consuming fire, that are a burning light, that are salt that has not lost its savor in the world around us. And I think there is something beautiful when we remember that it is the kindness of God that leadeth men to repentance. It is the goodness of God. It is the beauty of God that really is what God most frequently uses. Yes, some saved by fire. I understand there may be principles there that we could look at. But really, I think the most contagious thing about Christianity is joy. It's joy. And I think that's what we need to remember even about this Christmas. It doesn't matter if there are difficulties that we might face or conflicts between family. We need to keep an attitude of joy that is not just something that we fabricate. It is joy that comes from deep within, that is from the gift of salvation that God has given to us. He is the one who is the giver, the bestower of joy. And if we lack joy, that deep abiding joy as believers, it's most always because there is presence of sin that is unconfessed and undealt with. And that is why David even cried, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." So I think it's important to meditate tonight on this thing called joy. Joy is not merely happiness. Happiness, I think, I like to define it as having to do or directly connected with happenstance or situations, right? We have things that make us happy, but you can be joyful even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances of life when happenings aren't going so well, but you still have joy. You have something that's deeper than that. You have something that comes from the wellspring of our soul. It's something that comes from truly knowing the Lord, knowing the joy of the Lord, which the scripture says is our strength. It is not a weakness to be filled with joy. It is a glorious strength. And there, I think, and I'll just say it this way, I think there would be no greater compliment to a church or to a family than to have people say, there's something about you that is overwhelming, and it is joy. Because if you have joy, that means you are radiating Christ. And it means that that His gospel is going forth. It means that the good news is really good. It's not something that makes you grouchy. And this is really, I think, the essence of celebrating the first advent of Christ. He was born into this earth to bring joy to the world. It didn't make everyone happy. We know this from the accounts in the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Matthew, with regards to Herod and his desire to eradicate all of the babies. We know it came with great difficulty because the enemy hates joy. But joy nonetheless is what Christ brought. This month we've been singing this hymn, Joy to the World. It's written by Isaac Watts, and he wrote it not regarding the first advent of Christ, but primarily regarding the second advent, that Christ would come as the reigning conqueror. And it's been picked up and sung as at Christmas as a glorious message of the first advent, which I think it alludes to, but it also speaks of the fact that the same Jesus that brought joy through His birth is going to fulfill our joy in His second coming. He is going to finish what He started. Right? He is giving us this picture of the fact that our God wins, that Jesus Christ is victorious, and that brings joy. Right? Think of something so trivial as a football game. People get excited about football. I got excited when I played football or other sports. And it's exciting, especially when you win. Right? You say, that's happenstance. That's happenings. You're right. But it is in the big picture an understanding when we realize that being in Christ means we win. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The grave has lost its sting, right? Sin no more has control over us. It does not have us by the throat because of a little baby that was born in a manger. It was born and laid in a manger. And then lived a perfect sinless life and was willing to be our substitute on the cross. He was willing to lay His life down on behalf of others. He was willing to become the Lamb of God that would be satisfy God's wrath against sin forever. And that brought Him joy. And the Scripture says that it brought God the Father joy in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. It pleased Him to bruise the Lord because it would bring masses of people to Himself. We sing this song, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods rock hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. Even the rocks cry out the joy and the goodness of God. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found. In other words, God's love, God's presence changes a sin-cursed man, and it changes, if we have a right understanding of what God has called us to do, and seeing our families brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and seeing our cities changed by the gospel of the grace of God, and seeing the world transformed by sending the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. As far as the curse is found, the joy of the Lord needs to be spread to all the peoples of the earth. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. What a glorious hymn. It's a hymn written on the basis of Psalm 98. Psalm 98 says this, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God." That's declaring the joy of the Lord to two distinct people, the house of Israel and all the nations of the earth. "Make a joyful noise in the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of his psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity." God has declared that he is going to bring a message of salvation to the whole world. And it's going to bring joy. It's going to cause people and nations and kindreds to cry out with joy unto the Lord. Even the sin-cursed earth will clap its hands for joy. So why is it that we sing this song, "Joy to the World," at Christmas, if it's really about when he comes again? We call Christmas, if you study Christian history, the first advent, meaning the first coming of Jesus. To denote it as the first coming recognizes that we believe there's going to be a second coming. What Christ began in his birth, he's going to complete in the consummation of his coming for his people. And both the beginning, his first advent, and his second coming are things that for God's people bring joy. Right? And tonight, regardless of your eschatological position, which is a big fancy word for what you believe about the end times, you can't get away from the fact that when Jesus comes, and he is going to come, it will be joyful. It will be glorious. It will be the hope of his coming being fulfilled. Dare I say, it will be even maybe a more joyful advent than his first. I say, dare I say, because if he didn't have the first, he wouldn't have the second. In Luke's gospel, in chapter 2, the scripture says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things in her and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. What a glorious picture, what a glorious account of this birth of Jesus Christ. And here we found in the preceding chapter, in the 80 verses of chapter 1 in the Gospel of Luke, that I would encourage you to read chapter 1 and 2 to your family as you celebrate this time of Christmas and remember the birth of the Lord, that you see the magnificence of the Holy Spirit at work and the angels of God coming to bring messages and the babe leaping in the womb. And there's so many wonderful truths found here. The virgin that was conceived of the conceived seed of the Holy Ghost. And all these things that precede coming to this place where there is the fulfillment of this child being born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger and bringing immediately to the world great joy. Angels declared good tidings, and the men, the shepherds, were immediately filled with fear, and they were admonished by the angels to not be fearful, but to be joyful. As God's people, can I encourage you, can I implore you tonight, as you celebrate this Christmas and as you live every day of your life, that you would not be filled with fear from the world that is around us. We're not to fear what man can do to us. What's the greatest thing they can do? Is they can just kill us. Fear not man that can only kill the body, but fear God. And then when you realize that the God whom you fear, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, Proverbs says. And when we understand that God has given to us this glorious gift of eternal life, when we have repented of our sin and believed on Him and Him alone, He brings joy to our life. Joy in the midst of sorrows. Joy in the midst of the good times. Joy in the midst of the tribulations that we face. Joy in the job promotion. And joy even when we get the layoff slip, because we know that no matter what, God is in control. And He does not want us to be consumed with fear. He wants us to trust Him and be filled with joy. I would add that if your Christianity is not one marked by joy, then you need to check your Christianity. It's that serious. God desires us, He has called us, He's redeemed us, and He desires us to be a people of joy. The angels not only declared that good tidings of great joy, the angels declared that this one who was born was the Savior. He was the Messiah. He was Yeshua. He was Christ Jesus the Lord. It says, For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This was a fulfillment for these Jews that were there, that they understood. Even the shepherds that were there in nearby country. These were people who understood when the angels declared this was the Savior, Christ the Lord. This was the one who they were looking for. This was the one who they were longing for. A little bit later, those who were spiritually in tune with God, even in the midst of much of the Pharisees and the Sadducees' confusion and adding to the laws and things of that nature. There was one named Simeon who was waiting to behold his king. And when he came, when Jesus was brought to be circumcised on the eighth day, he said, "Behold, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace." He was filled with joy because he got to see the Savior he had been looking for all of his days. There is great joy in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heavenly host join in declaring and his greatness and praising God Most High. And I love this refrain. I probably share this every year just in thinking of what it would have been like to be Mary. You know, it's important to understand we don't worship Mary. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ only. At the same time, we shouldn't discard Mary, understanding that God called her highly favored among women. She was chosen for a special task. She needed to be a follower of her own son. And she was. But we see in her a great sense of trust and faith in God. When she had just given birth to baby Jesus, having all the preceding chapter 1, of all the declarations, the visits from angels, the visits from Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and all these things that preceded it. And this refrain in Mary pondered them or kept them in her heart. They were a continual assurance to her that her son was set apart for something magnificent. Something we could say, even though she had been told, was far beyond even her really grasping in its totality. And even to the point, the same refrain was used when Jesus was 12 years old and was reasoning with those in the synagogue in the temple. She marveled. She kept those things in her heart. And her Jesus' mother was there even unto his death when she saw her son, who of all people in the world who knew this was a perfect son. This was a son tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And his mother knew it. Now, for all of you who are mothers, you know what a miracle that is. And she kept these things in her heart, and I believe it brought great joy to her life. The shepherds left filled with the joy of the Lord. They left praising God. It says in verse 20, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let me ask a question. What does hearing this once again cause in our hearts as Christians? Does it cause in us the feeling that it's 7:10 and you said it was going to be right about an hour? I said about. Or do you have in your heart and mind a renewal of that desire to go out filled with joy, unashamed, knowing that Jesus, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, born to die on Calvary, to be the Savior of the world, sent from heaven as a gift from the Father to the world, not to condemn the world, but to give life unto all who would call upon Him. And to be reminded of the fact that this same Jesus who has gone away from us into heaven, whose Holy Spirit has been left as another comforter, the Scripture says, to comfort us and to provide for us that continual source of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God, as we learn about in John chapter 14, verse number 16 and 26. That the Holy Spirit has come and has brought comfort and joy by His presence. And He will until the Lord returns again. And we can look forward to the future. Whether things seem bleak or things seem bright in this world, we can march forward in hope and joy, knowing that God is not only near, He is in us, and He's working through us, and we are working all things to His glory, and He desires us to be a people filled in the midst of a world that is lost, filled with joy and hope that comes from knowing Jesus. He is Emmanuel, Matthew says, God with us. And guess what? He's still with us. May it bring great joy to you to know that the Lord, He is ever near. Oh, there's other pictures that could be given. There's great joy as we assemble together, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as we come together to worship. We grow and together as a holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians tells us, or Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, and we have a place filled with joy. I love quoting the psalm, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I believe that should be every day, but in particular, I think it's glorious to be reminded of that on the Lord's Day, that we might be filled with great joy. May everything we do on Christmas be done with God's glory in mind and with God's joy abounding. So yes, give the gifts. Receive the gifts and do it with joy. Hey, enjoy the cake. Enjoy the pie. Enjoy the cookies or whatever treats you might have. And do it with great joy, realizing that it is just a bit of the goodness of God that He's given to us to enjoy. You spend time with family. Be thankful and filled with great joy. What a blessed surprise we had in my brother-in-law and sister calling a couple days and confirming that they were going to get to come and to be with us and to celebrate with us. I think they're out there this evening even. They were here with us this morning and had lunch with them, and we don't get to see them very often. It brought great joy. But that joy is only made possible truly because of Jesus. And that joy is enhanced and enriched and enlivened because both of us are in the flesh as brothers and sisters, and we are in the Lord as brothers and sisters in Christ. So tonight, I pray that we would be a people that bring joy to the world. Because of His first advent and looking forward to His second. And being in Him in the present, knowing that He's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Would you join me in prayer?